keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever wondered about the secrets to creating standout video content? Or maybe you're curious about what 2024 holds for creators like you. Or if you're you're aiming to make your mark with some engaging content, well, today's episode is tailor-made for you. We are delighted to have Kevin Colby, who has leveraged his expertise to empower creators with a flair for making compelling content. Kevin's going to share his journey, his insights, and invaluable advice for making an impact with your video. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. And you read that exactly the way I wrote it. I'm just joking. I don't know about you guys, but you know, it's like when somebody like, hey, you'll be on this, or, and then they start reading this bio and I'm like, you know, can I do all that?
Oh wait, there's more. So if you don't know Kevin, I want to introduce you to him even more, because he is a solo content creator, which is really, really cool. He's a best-selling author. He's a podcaster. He's a coach. He's owner of Kevin Colby Media and founder of the Video Resource Hub. And in his creative journey, he started out as a DJ on radio before getting into TV. He spent over 30 years in video production and marketing at Fox, NBC, CBS, and ABC affiliated TV stations, including leading an award-winning creative team for one of the most recognized Fox affiliates in the country. He's worked with national brands, nonprofits, and other content creators around the world. He is an incredible YouTube creator, and he shares his simple tips and cool tools to help people get into and do more with online video. So we mentioned his book, and I want to make sure you guys, if you are watching us, you can go over to jeffc.live or to Kevin's website. You'll see his lower third pop up throughout the show today. But we are actually broadcasting over on Amazon right now, and his book is right down below in the carousel. So make sure you check that out. It is amazing. It's a great book. I have read it myself. It's really easy. If you're trying to get into live streaming, he gives you all the tools, some tips. It's really comprehensive, but it's an easy read. So make sure you guys checked out Kevin's book as well. So it really was a good book, Kevin. You see those books out there about live streaming, if you've been in it for a while, but you really did break it down really, really nice, showing like what tools to use. Here's some options. Here's kind of some best practices. Really, really good.
Thank you. I mean, I appreciate that feedback, because, you know, it was my first book ever. But even when you're doing videos or whatever, you get so close to what you're creating, you're like, man, this is like really good. And then the audience goes, no, it's not. But, you know, it's like with the book, it's like, man, I think, you know, and so it's really nice to hear that feedback that, you know, that hopefully it read the way that I was putting it together.
Yeah. And it really was. So like I said, and it's one of those that, you know, there's tools that will change over time, but it's pretty evergreen. Some of the tips that you gave in it. And, you know, you're like my friend Shannon Hernandez, who has a background in radio, and you learn run of show, you learn all that kind of stuff. And so that really came through in the book too. So that really, really good. So appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to do really quick, because I always forget this because I get so excited to have my guests on, but this show is sponsored by our friends over at Ecamm. You can go find out all about them. They have set up a really great new landing page for me. So go to ecamm.com/Jeff, and there's a code there, Jeff15. You can save 15% on your first purchase. It's what makes our show possible. It's amazing. We were able to meet up with them at PodFest and do a Hollywood Studios tour. If you've seen my Instagram reels, it's so much fun. So make sure you guys check them out at ecamm.com/Jeff. So we're going to dive right into this first section. I wanted to talk to you, Kevin, about being a creator, because creator economy is in the news. Everything, you know, it's kind of lucrative. A lot of young people, if you ask most young kids what they want to do, they say, I want to be a YouTuber. So, can you kind of share your journey into becoming a video content creation coach, and, you know, what drives your passion for helping creators, especially solo creators?
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned I did start in radio. I mean, when I was little, I actually had a little turntable and a stack of 45s, which I'm sure somebody watching this will go, what the heck is that? It's not a gun. They're records. And I would play DJ in my room, and I was really just enamored with radio. Then I had a chance to get into radio and thought, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. They're not paying me anything, but I love it. And then eventually switched over to television, just had an opportunity to work at a startup television station in Nashville, Tennessee. And I was like, wow, this is like radio with pictures. I'm really liking this. And so, you know, being in that kind of business where you're creating media for years and years and years and years, it's just something that just it felt more natural to me. You know, I'm a believer, so I believe this is kind of how I'm wired, my gifts and things like that. And I've been allowed to do this and connect with people and make money and things like that. So for the longest time, that's what I did. My last stint in television, I was a creative director. And, you know, the thing is, my team was far better than me. They were smarter. They were creative. And we just did some amazing things. The position got eliminated, my position, which is kind of, you know, it happens in businesses, right? And especially in the media and the traditional media business. Company took care of me. And so then I kind of went into this, you know, what the heck do I do? You know, the list of what I can't do. We don't have enough time to go over that.
Right.
And so I thought, you know, I thought for a while I'd get back into television, and those doors kept shutting, but yet people kept reaching out and saying, hey, can you help us with this video? And for quite a while I was producing videos for other folks, as well as like consulting them on, you know, best practices and things.
Right.
And so people kept asking me, especially some nonprofits, which I really love working with nonprofits. And I thought, okay. And I really felt, again, you know, this is where God was kind of pushing me to go. And it's weird going from having a team, because at one point, I think when our team was the biggest, there were maybe 12 or 13 of us, which for a local television station that's not in a major, major market like New York or Chicago or LA, that's a pretty big team. But we did a lot. And then I go to me. I'm it. You know, my meetings are way shorter because it's just me. But it's like, you know, then all of a sudden I'm the marketing department. I'm the design department. I'm the production and everything. And so that's taken a while to do. I do like the independence of it, also from some family things that with our youngest son who has special needs. So it's I do enjoy kind of being my own boss. I don't really have a desire anymore to build a business with a big team, but I do love helping other people create. When you see those, you know, the eyes light up, or, right, oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that. Or they realize that sometimes it's not as hard as some pros make it. You know, it's not a membership only club that anybody can create. It's just, we all are different levels. So that's what I've enjoyed doing more and more and more, and been able, goodness, to connect with people around the world that I would have never dreamed of. Mm-hmm. And opportunities, quite honestly, I would have had I stayed in traditional media. Not to knock that, because they paid the bills and I had some great work and friendships for a long time. But the doors that open being able to do what I do have just been remarkable.
That's an awesome story. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that trajectory, that career path too, you know, radio to television to kind of this new frontier. But, you know, Kevin, how has that kind of traditional broadcast television experience influenced what you're doing now in the online video content? You know, you mentioned you had a big team, you know, 12, 13 people, probably a lot more technical in the newsroom, probably more high paced, you know, those sorts of things. So how is everything in your career from broadcast, what have you taken and then implemented into the online video creation world?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I wasn't intimidated by video. And I think it probably even goes back to radio. Some of the, I mean, the true story is the fact of the matter is I never, ever desired to be on camera. I wasn't afraid of it. It just wasn't one of those things that it's like, hang on, let me be the guy on camera, the mic.
Right.
But I think, you know, I got this gift of gab from my mother, who could talk to, she passed away last month or 2 months ago, but she could talk to anybody about anything. And so I kind of got that from her. She was better at it. And that happened in radio. I mean, in radio, if there's anybody watching this or listening to this doesn't know, you know, it's you and a mic, you know, that's it. And, you know, now you can say, what's the difference? You're talking to a lens. Yeah. But even then, there's not even like, you know, I've got a flip up monitor on my camera where I can see myself. And with radio, you are actually going into it like I've got to be talking to somebody, you know, even even if they're not making the phones ring. So that, I think, helped me just in being able to put it out there. And then understanding the whole the video thing, and I say that like I've figured it all out, but I understood the power of video already from working in television and seeing how, you know, a 30-second commercial or a promotion could really spark reaction, you know, or action or whatever we wanted to do. And then also getting to do work with community. So that helped. The flip side, though, is because, you know, television, everything you do, you know, we would do a lot of 30-second promos for the station. So like we were like the agency for the station, right? And so if we were promoting whatever it was, Seinfeld, we had Seinfeld in syndication, you know, we had 30 seconds. So in 30 seconds, we had to figure something out. Could be 31 seconds. It could be 29 seconds. It had to be 30. So you started making sure like every little frame and everything would make sense. And so, which is good and bad for me since I'm a perfectionist or tend to be.
Right.
You might argue against that if you look at some of my videos and go, really? But so that actually has worked against me sometimes as a content creator, like on YouTube, because it's like, wait a minute. I'm overthinking this and I'm overproducing this. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you've got some of the folks that are just starting that actually have an advantage over me because they don't know all this stuff that they're supposed to know. And so they can be a little bit more freeing if that's right, right. The case. But it's a background that has served me well. I mean, connections I've made and things like that has really opened the door. I miss all the free swag I used to get. That's a problem.
My friend Shannon, he still does the DJ, not the the radio personality stuff, and he gets to do some really cool concerts and meet some cool people. I want to kind of dive in something you said about you had to learn how to do every frame in that 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Does that make it easier for you to create shorts? Because I've kind of, and the short form content, because I kind of dove into that a little deeper, and it's really hard to tell a story in under a minute, especially if you're a video editor and you're trying to get that hook at the beginning. Yeah. You hardly have any time for a hook anymore. I mean, so has it helped you because of that, or are you still push up against that storytelling kind of limit?
You know, that's a great question. You know, so I'm not a fan of the vertical format. It's probably my old guy coming out. I love the landscape and I do think shorts, and I've played with them some, and you know, and have some that have done well and some that it's just like they're just there. I do think it's a good exercise in terms of you've got 60 seconds up to 60 seconds of, you know, getting to your point, making it make sense shorter. But the downside to that, though, is it's just become so quick that it's just like, okay, fine, I'm done and I move on. And I don't think there's a lot of deep connection there with vertical that you can get with long form like this. Right. So, you know, I was already used to, you know, writing and then realizing, oh, okay, the copy I wrote for this 30 second spot is 42 seconds. So where do I start cutting it? I do think that has translated over to I edit my own stuff, to when you get into the edit, realize, okay, I really don't need that. Or I've said that again, or I can shorten that up here, or I can move it somewhere in the video where now it makes more sense. So I do think that has helped me in terms of that, but it's still a whole new beast because then, you know, you master the short and then you want to get into video podcasting and you're like, hey, go an hour. Doesn't really matter as long as there's engagement and value and things there. So I don't know if that really answered the question, but it has hurt me because here's the kicker. We also used to do like 4 second IDs and like 10 second promos. And people may think, wow, that's not a lot of time, but consider this, that for years and years and years, 60 minutes still on CBS was like for a long time was like the number one show in broadcasting.
Right.
And the only way they promoted that every week And think about it, they were doing like 15-minute stories, then a break, and then 15, then a break. There was a 10-second promo they ran every week. And some of it was Sunday on 60 Minutes. Okay, so you've already got like a second and a half of it written.
Right, yeah.
But those promos would get your attention, layer the video in, and you'd go, ooh, that's, I didn't know. Oh, that's pretty cool. Mm. And so there is a way to kind of just get to the point, and shorts can do that. So maybe my advice is that if, you know, if somebody's brand new, try it to see if it helps you get more concise, but don't be afraid of the long form either, because that's where they can get more view and more information as well. Because sometimes, depending on what you're teaching or what you're sharing, the video just needs to be longer to understand it, you know?
Yeah. It is a very challenge. And by the way, Chris says, dude, the swag in those music business was epic. So yeah, he agrees. The one of the things too, you mentioned, you know, a lot of people who start with, you know, creating content, they don't have all that baggage of like, you may have had, like if you're an editor for a long time or whatever. But do you know, like, what's the common challenges as you see, as you train and you teach new video creators? What are the kind of the common challenges you see, and what do you teach them to kind of overcome those challenges?
I think the one thing I see is the fear of I'm going to get something wrong. It's not going to be perfect, you know, or, you know, I blinked, my both eyes didn't blink at the same time. So therefore I need to take that video down. I don't know if that's a thing. If you could do that, you'd probably make a lot of money if you could. But I think it's that fear of not getting it right, and then just kind of getting overwhelmed with how to even start. Because, you know, I mean, I love YouTube. I love it for a platform to create for and just watch and learn from and just honestly just be entertained from too. But you can get overwhelmed. I mean, you can get overwhelmed. Right. You don't have to guess when something, a new piece of gear has come out. Because there's going to be like a gazillion, like, you know, you got to buy this camera. And so then it becomes like, well, maybe, you know, I don't want to create content with my iPhone because, you know, these guys over here say I need this $2,000 camera. And it's like, because, you know, and so then you start kind of stacking all the things to keep you from creating. And it's just, the best thing to do is just jump in. And a lot of times what I have coached people to do when they go, I don't know what my first video would be. And I say, make that your first video. Just make that your first video. Just be straight up. Chances are few people will see it anyway. That I'm not trying to be negative, but you know, you're growing, you're finding your voice and stuff. Even if you've got a big following, every platform's different. So you may have a huge Instagram following or a huge TikTok following or something like that. Get on YouTube and it's like, guess what? They don't know us. They don't. Mm. And most of the people don't care. That's not to say you can't make them care, but we worry about the things I do that people may get hung up on. And it's just like, just put it out there, bring value, be yourself, teach something, share something, you know, don't be so salesy to begin with and just kind of get into it. But just, you know, The camera's not going to hurt you unless it falls on you. That's a whole different video.
That's right.
Make sure you're rolling.
Happen. Yeah, exactly.
That is comic gold. You want to get clicks, have something fall on you, go horribly.
Yeah, I just released a video this week about I got this DJI Osmo Pocket 3, mm-hmm. which I will have to say that has been one of the best pieces of gear I've ever bought. Nice. Absolutely love it. And I was doing a video about how you could hook up an external mic to it. Thankfully, I was rolling and I pick up the mic because I was also I had my iPhone kind of recording a second angle so you could see it. Right. Well, I forgot, you know, the cord's only this big and thing falls down and everything. And I thought, you know, I need to put that in the video just to show that, you know, even professionals can screw up.
That's funny you say. We went to and did a meetup for some people when we were at Podfest at Hollywood Studios, and I had turned, like, there's something on my camera. My daughter put the thing together. She's working for me, and there's a thing where I'm going, oh, I'm filming me the wrong way, and she thought it was hilarious and put it at the end of the reel. So it's there right now, so you can go watch that. But it sometimes those things do kind of endure yourself to the audience and make sense.
And the world keeps spinning. The last I've seen,
exactly.
But, you know, it's a great way to connect with the audience, to kind of build your vibe, those sorts of things. But I think whether it's you want to teach something, you want to showcase something, you want to review something, I think what it always comes down to is storytelling, right? Especially in the video narrative, like you were just talking about, Kevin, you know, 10 seconds, 60 minute ad to kind of recap a story in a way, or entice people to see the full story. But that can be challenging for people that are just starting out, especially when it comes to, all right, well, what equipment am I going to use? How am I going to edit? Forget about writing the script or whatever it is. It's the storytelling that it really comes down to. So how do you see the role of storytelling in enhancing creators' video content? And for those that are kind of scared of it, you know, what are some tips for improving storytelling ideas?
You know, and that's a great question. And I think, I mean, it's been a while since, you know, the storytelling. I mean, people talk storytelling all the time. You know, you've got to tell stories, you got to tell stories. And a lot of well-meaning people say that, teaching it, like people go, oh, okay, got it. You know, and it's not like, to me, they make it sound like, you know, to drive the car, you have to start the car. Okay, that's a little different. But you need to be a storyteller. Oh, okay, what does that mean? Well, it's different things for different people. The reality of it is we're all a living story. You know, I think, and there's people with this far better than me, but I think you could take what the world might perceive as the most boring person, and they've got some story. It may not relate to everyone, but I think some of the best documentaries and even movies are when you start feeling for the people, even though, like, I just watched this amazing documentary from Yes Theory called Project Iceman. Highly recommend it. Thankfully, they released it on YouTube for free because I'm too cheap to pay for it. I'm throwing that out there. And it is phenomenal. And it's about a guy who runs an Ironman in Antarctica. Whew. Now, I can assure you, and anybody watching and listening to this, I've never wanted to run an Ironman. I've never wanted to run one in Antarctica. But through the storytelling and sharing his experience and his ups and downs and wins and losses, and I'm not going to even get close to saying how it plays out, you start feeling something. You know, I mean, at one point I even felt cold, believe it or not. Of course, we had the heat down in the house, but that's, you know, maybe I didn't know that. But, you know, when you can start relating to somebody, And I think sometimes people feel like, well, I've got to share personal information. You have to decide how much you want to share. Like I just shared a few minutes ago that our youngest son has special needs. It's part of our life. So I've shared things about that in there, not for pity, just to say, hey, look, this is one of the things I go through, because I also feel like, and this is sometimes is hard, especially when you get into social media, is if you're just looking constantly at the numbers and the analytics and the numbers and the analytics, it's easy to go, oh, wow, I gained a subscriber. Well, you did, but a person decided to hit the subscribe button. And there's thousands of people that may watch and be moved and never subscribe as well, but because of something you've said. So I, you know, again, Connor, I don't know if that answers the question, but that's kind of how I approach it, is that we all have stories. And I've heard, you know, like you have to prompt them. Well, let me tell a story first. I don't know that you have to. I think it can just be part of your flow and your conversation, you know, and it shouldn't be forced. You can also tell stories that aren't yours. Like, again, going back to the documentary I just mentioned, that's not my story.
Right.
But just in relating what he went through. I mean, he trained for over 3 years for something that I'll share this wasn't even funded when he decided to do it.
Wow.
Okay. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Just amazing. Yeah.
So I love what you said. And one of the things that I picked up, I've always said that, you know, I believe that we are created by the creator to be creative. Everybody has been. And that, like even in accountants, which I hate math, I hate all that stuff. So to me, that's like, you know, oh my gosh, but they can be creative. I mean, I follow somebody I met, they had a booth at, I think one of the conferences I went to, these two ladies who do accounting, but the way they tell stories in their newsletter is like a case study on how to tell stories for an industry that I would think wasn't that sexy or, you know, would be a natural thing, but you can do it. So I have totally changed the way I think about, like, everyone is creative. Everybody has a story to tell. And there's always an audience for that, somebody to tell that story. So
I throw something out, Jeff?
Yeah.
You said that, and it made me think about this too. I think the mistake that especially newer creators can make is only following and watching things in their niche or their yes. area of topic. I mean, if you look at my, and this is why I love YouTube, like, what did I watch? I watched something the other night and it was a video about this guy, you know, camping in the snow with a tent, you know, and he's, you know, he survived because he posted right. a video.
Right.
And so the next day, what's in my feed? You know, YouTube's like, hey, this guy wants to go camping in the middle of the winter. And I don't even own a tent, but right. I think by watching other types of topics, if you will, genres or niches, you can see how people create and do that may be relevant. I mean, you know, if you, I can't think of a musician now, but if you talk to a lot of famous musicians, like, you know, a rock and roll, mm-hmm. hard rock and roll artist, you'd be shocked if they, you know, maybe shocked to hear them say that they listen to Beethoven or they yeah. listen to jazz or something like that, because it expands your experience. And then you go, oh, that's kind of cool. And even different types, live streams, vlogs, shorts, whatever it might be, just to see how different people create different things, pick up ideas, wonder how they did that, you know, and then maybe it can apply or not, but it just kind of expands you, I think, as a creator, if that's your path.
Yeah, that's a great point. Getting outside of your kind of niche and seeing what else is being done out there. That is so, so, so true. So in that note, let's jump to our next kind of section about some video opportunities for creators in 2024. And a lot of this is I did when I went and, you know, I've subscribed to your channel for a long time, but one of your, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, you had a video about like upcoming trends that you kind of think are happening and some opportunities, which I love that word opportunities for creators, because a lot of times we think, it's too late to get into YouTube or it's too late to start creating content. And you kind of went in a way that there, here's some opportunities. So based on your predictions, what do you think some of the top trends are for creators to look out for in 2024?
Well, I definitely think video podcasting will continue to grow. I mean, podcasting has always, I don't have stats, podcasting has always lagged behind, I think, like video. I think it takes a little bit more of an effort, a decision to listen to a podcast. I mean, I typically listen to a podcast every morning when I'm on the treadmill. I've got a few I cycle back and forth through. But I think when you take in video podcasts, YouTube getting into it, I mean, Spotify had the video thing a while back, and that kind of blew up a little bit when they brought, you know, when they did the deal with Joe Rogan. But to me, it's an easier entry point for creating content. In fact, I'm working with a nonprofit right now, and that's what we're trying to get them going on is video podcasting, because they serve such an amazing population that's not gigantic, but need their information. And it's like, don't worry about overproducing videos and stories. Just, you know, let's get into a video podcasting world that then you can take your message once and repurpose it, you know, into audio. And it's just, I think that is going to continue to grow and grow and grow, because I think there's even the opportunity of just deeper conversations like this. I mean, we could have done mm-hmm. this in a 60 second video. Right. I don't know how good it would be, but we could. But I think when you have that longer conversation, it's maybe think of it as like meeting somebody at a coffee shop. You know, if somebody goes, hey, do you want to go grab coffee? And I get there and I go, well, look, I've only got 60 seconds. So what do you want to talk about?
Right.
I'm still waiting on my coffee. I mean, does that count into the time? I don't know, but it's right. like I've been at coffee shops longer because you get caught up in the conversation and the stories and stuff like that. So I think video podcasting is huge as well. I think YouTube is going to continue to grow and grow and grow more. Now, since I wrote that, TikTok and just flat, I'm right. not a fan of TikTok. I don't have a TikTok. I'm not a TikToker. I have issues with it, but that's probably a different show. And TikTok has announced they're going to go long form. I also think that is when you start losing focus as a company or a brand, when you start saying, this is what we built on, now we're going to do this. But I think that's even more opportunity for YouTube. So I think those are opportunities. I also think I love AI and I use it, but I think there's going to get a point to where people are just craving real. And, you know, AI, you know, there's programs out there that can mimic my voice, mimic my looks. That might actually help. I don't know. But they can't mimic my feelings and the stories. They don't know what I'm going to say next. And I think that's the beauty of even just going live or recording as live, you know, that unedited, like I'm just going to sit down with the camera and share some stuff. You know, it could be a microphone as well. And just, I'm going to put it out there. And, you know, I've done that sometimes. And sometimes it resonates with folks, you know, because it feels like we're having that conversation. So I think those are the ones that kind of hit for me the most.
Very interesting.
Let's stay on that AI and machine learning trail for a sec. And, you know, I love what you said with that about getting real and being real, which is what we've always talked about. Not to be confused with be real, which I don't know if people are still doing that, but we'll see. I never did it. So, Kevin, AI, machine learning, how do you see that one evolving in when it comes to content creation? And then to kind of piggyback on what you said, how do you find that balance of letting AI and machine learning help you, but still coming off as real and genuine?
Yeah. And, you know, that's a great question. I think AI, here's the irony. I think AI's been around a while. I mean, and there's ways that, you know, I use AI that it's not really termed AI, but it is in a way. I think for me, using it to kind of when I'm stuck on something, you know, is there a different way of saying this? Or, I mean, I've actually used it for a couple of thumbnails for ideas. Like I was doing a video and I could not think of it. I thought, man, what is the thumbnail for this? And so I went to, I think it was Bard actually, and I typed in, here's what the video is about. Can you give me some ideas for a thumbnail? And one of the things it suggested, it didn't create it. It just like, what if you did? And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And that was still on me to create it. So I think sometimes it can help with that. The downside to that though, is when you start, you forget that, you know, before it was so prevalent, whether it's free or not, you actually had to kind of think on your own. And if I can relate it to television. So when I was in television, it probably dates myself, but, you know, nonlinear editing was coming out. So like we went from like literally editing on tape to Avids people haven't heard of Avid, you know, think of like, you know, Premiere and Final Cut's all digital, right? Well, what ended up happening over time is, you know, we started using it kind of as a crutch. So instead of like planning too much, we would go, oh, you know, I'll just go fix it in post, which a lot of times meant just junking up the video with stuff it didn't need. And I think AI can do that when we become so reliant. It's like, well, I don't know what an idea is. I'll just go here and I'll let it come up with some ideas for me. And it's like, don't lose the ability to think and try. You know, it's, you know, because like, let's say you do that and AI comes up with the idea and you produce the video and it stinks. Are you going to go back and go, what were you thinking? That was a horrible idea. And it's going to go, I'm a robot. I don't know. I was just putting in. The irony about AI to me is it still needs a human input.
Right.
To spit something out. So I think there's times when ideation, creating different things, there's software out there, AI software that can like take this video podcast and chop it up. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. So I do think the tools are really nice, but like with so many things, you can get over dependent on it. And I think that there's that balance, you know. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be some businesses that feel like, oh, I can just, you know, do ChatGPT 42 whenever that's out, you know, and I don't need this many people. And then they'll find out that, there's some limitations to it. Mm-hmm. I joked with somebody the other day. I said, you know, if ChatGPT just like went out of business, do you know how many people would be totally like, what do I do now? Everything I built was on that. And it's like, well, yeah, maybe go back and think. That's an idea. Just try.
So I want, so, you know, you mentioned the video, you think it's going to kind of maybe go down a little bit this year. I really dive into it and I really kind of look at all the different platforms and talk to people in the industry. And it's changing so stinking fast. Like it is going. New tools are coming out today. I'm a big fan of Midjourney with the image creation, and it just continues to get better and better and better. Mm-hmm. I think that what will happen in 2024 is people are going to quit trusting the written word as much as they do now. And where we are with live streaming, podcasting, where I can't with AI pull up Chris' comment and go, I love Kevin's robot voice. Ha, ha, ha. You know what he's doing. That kind of stuff. But I think that what we're doing with the podcasting and stuff like that is where it's going to be, because people can trust that. They see us. They know. Yes. The uncanny valley is still too much with those avatars where they're trying to get to be, you know, a YouTube celebrity. It's still not there yet. I don't think it's going to be there. It can't do the live interaction. So I kind of agree that it's a tool. It's a great tool. It can help you produce and be creative more than you ever have before if you use it in the right way. But you still have to think. You have to say that's a good idea or not. So
totally. Agree. Yeah, I mean, when in doubt, use your brain.
Right. And then, right.
You know.
Right. Anyway, Connor,
I think Google's is kind of already combating it too, right? In their most recent algo update, who gained the most traction? Reddit. All of a sudden, right. Into Google, there's this new section up here saying what people are saying or how others are answering the question, right? So instead of a blog post that's written by AI or ChatGPT or regurgitated, it's kind of feeding up, you know, quote unquote, real people might be hiding behind an avatar or whatever, but this message board of community and things like that. So yeah, it'll be very, very interesting, especially considering at the same time, Google is heavily investing in AI. So they're combating and they're investing whole big thing. But a thing we always talk about on this show is the evolving nature and the rapidly changing landscape of all these social media platforms. You know, Kevin, you talked a little bit about TikTok changing so much, you know, going from short form to focusing on long form. And shoot, they even want to become an Amazon with all their shopping things that they're doing, which is pretty crazy. Three different focuses that they're doing, but platforms like YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, always changing. How would you say creators should adapt their strategies to continuously stay relevant when all these platforms are changing?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And I don't know that I've got a perfect answer for that. I think early on when I was doing my own thing, well, even going back to TV days, I remember I would tell my team, you know, we can try and do a lot of the platforms okay, or we can do a few really well.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is then when I started doing my own thing, I didn't follow my own advice. And I was like, well, I got to be on Facebook. I got to be on Instagram. I got to be on Twitter. And there's this Pinterest thing there, which I think I even saw Jeff on. And, you know, there's all these platforms and they're all different. People are on there for different reasons. I think too often, and I see this a lot in Facebook groups, people have started YouTube channels and their question is, hey, should I start an Instagram account so I can get people to watch my YouTube channels? No, that's not why they're on there. Nobody signs up for an account saying, I really hope Jeff is posting stuff on here so I can go watch him somewhere else. Yeah. So it's kind of that, you know, not using platforms as they are. Also, though, the belief that you've got to be everywhere. I mean, I do think this is some of the misinformation that people get off of Gary Vee is that, you know, Gary's like, you know, just document, don't create. Well, it's still creating at some point. I got to turn something on. I got to post something out there and, you know, just try and be everywhere. But then Gary never shares that he's got a team. The last I heard, 21 people that just work on his personal brand. Good for Gary. He's got the money and that works for him. He's everywhere. But then you try and go, well, I got to do that too. You know, I got to do this, 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 and this. And then you start burning out. So, you know, what I wish I had done sooner is just lean more into, for me, YouTube. Learn it as much as you can. And then play with it and try different things. And then there might be some other things that you can play with, but resist every shiny object. Now that's, I say that for somebody that I'm pretty sure I'm ADHD and never been diagnosed, but
right.
you know, it's like, you mentioned Be Real and, what's the Facebook one that came out, Threads, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I need to get on there. And I'm like, nope, not going to do that. Not going to do that. And, you know, there are platforms that just don't work for me and I'm okay with that. The other thing too, and I don't know if this plays with it too, strongly encourage, take breaks. Just, you know, get to a point where I can tell you right now, other than YouTube, which I don't consider a social app, I don't have any apps anymore, social media apps on my phone. I had to take them off. I turned off notifications. I decide on the weekends that I'm not going to do, especially on Sunday, that Sunday I don't do email. I don't do any social media. I don't do anything. And Saturday, I'm even trying to wean off of just email in general and social media. I don't get on it in the evening. And, you know, am I missing out on something? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if somebody's interested in working with me, I hope to have an email in the morning.
Right.
But I think not letting these platforms totally dictate how we live, it's hard and it's a balance. But I think it's one that you've got to figure out for yourself, and then, you know, whatever your own level of success is and things like that as well.
Yeah,
those are great. I love that so much. Yeah. That plays into one of my favorite authors, Cal Newport. All about digital minimalism, and I'm so excited for his new book coming out in a couple months, or actually next month, Slow Productivity, which is about that. It's about that long burn of creating things that take time, that are worthwhile. But I'm a firm believer in that. I'm trying my hardest to do that, like remove apps from my phone to be more in the moment. But also to your point, what you're saying, Kevin, is to have these tools be a tool for you, not to have you be a tool to the app, right? Which happens all the time. And, you know, you're not going to create a $1 billion company like Facebook by spending all your time on a tool like Facebook.
No. And then you start, I mean, again, everybody has to decide this for themselves, but you know, what kind of life is that?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, I don't subscribe to the hustle and grind thing. I don't, you know, for a little bit, I thought, yeah, you know, that's the way to go. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it can be very detrimental. Because I mean, just YouTube in general, I mean, YouTube, it's funny. Again, I love the platform, you know, they're all about mental health. But when you get to your studio, the first thing on there is like how your most recent video did. And, you know, it didn't do that well, Kevin. It was only a 7 out of 10. Yeah. I mean, you know, so maybe you need to post another one because, you know, when you post more, you grow more. But we want you to feel well.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. How's that helping me? You know, so you've got to, I think, have those mechanisms where it's like, yeah, you know, I did a video not too long ago. I just felt like it, that it's like I'm not a YouTuber. And the reason I don't. You know, and I've had these discussions with other folks and they're like, yeah, you're a YouTuber. And I'm like, I think it's part of my independent thing that I don't want to be identified. I don't want a platform to identify my self-worth because it's really easy. You guys tell me if you agree or disagree. It's really easy to put a piece of work out there and then you think, man, this is great. It's great. I'm, you know, whatever. And it, you know, you look at it the next day and it's got like 5 views and you're like, oh, I'm a failure. People don't like it. And it's like, right. No, just dude, most of the planet don't even know you're alive. You know, just keep pushing it out there. And if it's supposed to, it'll hit the right people. I mean, it's just, I've had a video recently on YouTube that did this forever. And then all of a sudden now it's taking off. I don't know why. I didn't change anything with it.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden it's helping people for this moment. And it's like, great.
One of the things that I tell people is when they have like they only 5 views or whatever, but I go like, go back to your church group or your school PTA and look around how many people there are creating content. Like really, like creating content on a consistent basis. No way. Yeah. You are the outlier. And so we forget that because I'm talking to Kevin, who's got over 10,000 people on his YouTube channel, subscribe to him, and Connor's amazing and all the stuff that he does. And then I look like I only got 5 views, but you're still creating content and nobody else is really, if you look at it.
And it's really hard to get caught up in those numbers. I mean, it is. It just is. And I'm not going to lie. It was exciting to hit 10,000 subs. It's been exciting to keep growing as well. But, you know, there was some guy that posted on Twitter, X, whatever it is. And it was a great graph that kind of related, like, you know, how many people will fill up, you know, a coffee shop, and then how many people will fill up an auditorium and this and stuff. And when you start thinking of it that way, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this video only got 1,000 views. But when you think of 1,000 people that may have watched it and take 1,000 people and put them into a small venue. Oh, well, that's a lot.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Exactly. So real quick on this, before we go on, we got Jeffrey Fitzgerald says, great info, gents, looking good. Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for stopping by. And we also have Scott Ayers. And this is what I love about live video is the relationships and the friends who give you a hard time. Hopped in late, but the man with the best hair is on live stream with the man with the best beard, and it showed up in my timeline. So I had to pause to do what I'm doing. So that's why I love live video, and I love the friends that I made. And Nicole says, some of my top videos started out with really low numbers. Also, somebody once gave me a great analogy. If you get 100 views, they said, think of what it looks like. Yeah, the 100 people in the room. If you get 1,000, what it mm-hmm. looks like in the room. So true. Yeah. Thanks for watching, Nicole, over on LinkedIn. On that note, as you know, we were talking about opportunities for creators. Can you kind of share some tips? Like, sometimes you don't know the opportunities until, you know, unless you're digging into some of the analytics or the, you know, what you're seeing is happening. So are there certain things that you look for on leveraging video analytics to improve your strategy and maybe viewer engagement when you're on YouTube or trying to get trying to increase your, subscriber base or whatever?
So this will probably be the part of the video podcast you'll cut out later. I just don't like the analytics at all. It's funny in television, you know, there was enough data we had to keep up with. Like if we would do radio buys, in other words, we would buy commercial time on radio stations to promote the TV station. And, you know, you'd have to get into like, well, what's the reach going to be? And, you know, what's the return on this and all this other stuff. And, yeah, I'm not a math guy either, so I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. So it's YouTube in general gives you so much information that it can be overwhelming. In fact, on my wish list for YouTube is that they would almost, when you get there, have like analytics for dummies. They could use my name. That's okay. This is for Kevin. And it's just the basic stuff that I can go, oh, okay. Cause you know, you got click-through rate and average view and all this other stuff. And now this is the thing. And this is the thing. You've got to edit for retention. I love this quote from Ryan Trahan, who's a huge YouTuber guy, younger guy. I think he's a believer too. And I saw him in an interview. He goes, you know, I keep hearing about editing for retention. I don't even know what that means. And I thought, okay, good. If you don't, I don't. I've looked in there before and I've tried to chase some things, you know, you'll hear the double down and do this and things like that. And I think there's validity to that. I've got a good friend that I actually convinced to get on YouTube. I'll shout out his channel if that's okay. Field Guide to DIY. It's not his job. He's got a full-time job as an IT guy, but he does this. He's had great success. And I told him straight off the bat, Eddie, your channel will grow faster than mine because of what you're doing. It's more home DIY stuff. Yeah. I think he does a better job of, oh, you know, I did this type of video and it did very well. So there's a like topic like it over here that's not the exact same thing. I think he does a better job at that. You know, I've gone in and looked at, you know, what are my top performing videos over time, and you see some trends and things like that. But I'm going to be honest, my second biggest video right now, which is, if it's on track, I get one day, maybe, I don't know, become my biggest, was just based on, I saw this tool, I thought it was kind of cool, and I did a video on it. There's my research right there. I'm not even in the thumbnail, which maybe that's why it's performing so well. And it keeps driving and driving and driving and driving views and subscribers and people, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's even performing extremely well outside of the US as well. So I think, you know, you can go in there. The thing about when you start on YouTube, you don't really have any data. They don't have any data on you. They don't know anything about you. And so you really have to start posting to kind of see, and then it takes a while. It can take a while based on your videos and your views and things like that to start see, like I can go on my back end now and see, other channels people are watching, specific videos, and this is in the YouTube studio, specific videos they like. Well, if I were to follow that pattern, the only thing I would be doing is Final Cut Pro stuff. I love Final Cut Pro. I can teach on it. There's people out there better, but I don't want to be a Final Cut Pro channel. I want to do other things. And so that I think in taking chances and experimenting with things like the video I mentioned, that's all of a sudden taken off. You could look at it and go, well, that doesn't really have anything to do with what you normally teach about video. I would say it's in that realm, but yet it's serving a purpose now. So, you know, I would say be very careful about getting too into them. And even if you've seen the video where Mr. Beast is like, you've really got to understand the analytics and stuff like that. Yeah, but look at his channel. Look what he was doing and look at how he even started. And I think, you know, it changed over time. So I don't know if that helps.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a lot of stuff in there. YouTube has added more and more things. Like there's a research tab in there. And I think now it's better than it's been. And you know, there's something to be said about YouTube is giving me ideas for what my viewers, potential viewers may be looking for. So could I do some content around that? Maybe, maybe not. But at the same time, you know, if you understand YouTube's a business, they're just trying to get people on the platform. So what is something maybe you could create that you know a lot about, that you're passionate about? Because I mean, while this is my job, I love creating content. I absolutely love it. You know, I worked at a theme park once. It felt like a job. I hated it. I couldn't wait to quit. So when you get into this, you know, if you're not enjoying it, I don't think it's going to come across. And I think you're just going to get, after a while, it's like, oh, I got to make another video. And it's like, well, but if you feel that way, unless you've got a brand deal attached to it, you know, it's like, yeah, don't. It just do something else.
Yeah, great points. And on some great comments here, Chris says, a great perspective and human reminders, Kevin. Thanks so much for all your wisdom and the great video tips you've given over the years. Great feedback there. And then Scott Ayers has a great point. If you impact in life only 10 people and it's a life-changing impact, that's huge. I think marketers today don't realize that. I'd rather make a lasting impact on 10 people than be a 3-second glimpse on someone's life for 100K people. So great point. Thanks, Scott, for that. On that note,
I agree. Can I say something? I'm sorry to interrupt. So Scott has a great point, and you know, the only 10 people, I know he was using that as an emphasis, but I think we can get caught up in that. Well, you know, only, you know, I'm just a creator, or I only had 100 views. Dude, you had 100 views. I saw somebody say that in a group the other day. It's like, well, you know, I've only got 50 subscribers. And I made a comment. I said, you have 50 more subscribers than you had before you started.
Right.
And 50 more than the people who just keep talking about it, but don't start. So those words like only and just, sometimes they work against us. But anyway, yeah, Scott, Chris, they're both phenomenal dudes.
That's why I think that we should all show up at Jeff's house and watch his head spin.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. My wife's like, don't use the bathroom. The plates. Scott Ayers is doing math live. Let's not break the internet. That's true, Chris. But Jim, thank you so much. Jim says this is a very inspiring episode, Jeff. Thank you, Jim. And I appreciate you watching almost every week. Appreciate that. Thank you. One of the things I wanted to do a shout out real quick to the people. This is why I love live video, is being able to pull up comments. And the only way to do that is with Ecamm. They are the sponsors of this show, but I've been using them way before they even sponsored me. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. Use code Jeff15 to get 15% off your first order. It's a great deal. Great company, great community. I think the world of those people over there. Also, I wanted to make sure that I don't miss this for you guys who are listening on the podcast. Don't forget about, this is a great resource, videoresourcehub.com. That is Kevin's like resource website that's got all sorts of things like what to edit on, some marketing things, tools, tips. I mean, assets that you need to create videos. It is amazing. I didn't know about it until he sent it to me over on Facebook. I was like, this is great. I love it. So if you want to go, if you're wanting to create some great video and you want to find out like the tools and kind of a repository or encyclopedia of all the things, videoresourcehub.com is an amazing resource. So make sure you guys go check that out. And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes as well. So last section, we're running out of time. Oh my gosh, this has flown by. I want to talk about Kevin's predictions for 2024. Go ahead, Connor, take it away.
Yeah. So Kevin, on a recent video, you know, we're in 2024, we're already a month in, which is crazy. But in a recent video, you shared some predictions for the coming year when it comes to digital media. Can you pick one that you're super excited about or you're particularly interested in and elaborate on that prediction for 2024?
Yeah, I mean, I'll reiterate this about YouTube. I think YouTube is the best video platform out there. I think it's the best for creators. So if creators are looking at this as a potential career, whether it's just a side hustle, kind of, you know, I hate that word, but, you know, it's like a side gig or whatever, or you want to test the waters, or you just feel like, or even a nonprofit or a small business, there is no better platform than YouTube that gives you so many tools right out of the gate. Now, some of them you don't unlock for a little bit, but you know, you can go live, you can produce, you can do verticals, you can do a podcast on there, and it's free. So, you know, Jeff mentioned earlier, is it too late to get into YouTube? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because we assume that everybody has watched everything. And it's just not the case. I mean, one of the tabs I like on there, if you refresh at the top, it'll say new to you. I click that a lot. And that's where I've discovered some other channels and some other creators that I didn't even know were there. So I would say of everything, I think as big as YouTube is and as dominant as it is still the best opportunity out there. And it doesn't hurt that it's owned by Google. So therefore, you've kind of got Google's backing on this platform that I think will just grow and grow and can help you, if you're creating content, reach even more people, even those people that you don't even know are out there looking for what you have to create. So I would go with that. Awesome. That's my final answer.
Good. So, wow, we have come to I could talk with Kevin all day. This is stuff that I am very passionate about, and I love his philosophy and his wisdom and all this. So I want to leave this last little bit of time, Kevin, for you to tell people where they can find you, what you're working on, all the things that is Kevin Colby.
Well, you can connect with me on YouTube. It's at Kevin Colby, and my website is kevincolby.com. It's a good way just if you want to reach out, and there's some resources on there. Video Resource Hub, Jeff was so kind to plug. I did put that together just to give us all like a single place for that. That's really probably the best place. You know, what I'm working on is I hope to be working on a new book that I'm going to be co-authoring with somebody. Hopefully that'll be out in a few months because now I've got that book writing bug. and probably trying to lean in a little bit more myself, just getting the video podcast more consistent. So those are the type things. And then probably in another month, I'll get my ends trimmed off my hair.
That's great. Yeah.
Just the ends.
Yeah. So by the way, you guys who are listening on the podcast, just so that you've got his name correct, it's Kevin. And the last name is spelled K-O-L-B-E. So that's kevincolby.com. And go check that out. And also videoresourcehub.com is the place to go for that. And thank you guys so much for watching. This has been an amazing show. Connor Brown, where can people find out more about the amazing, unsinkable Connor Brown?
You can find out more about me at wdwopinion.com and across social media at wdwopinion. Awesome episode, super inspiring, great talk today.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for watching. Thank you, Chris and Scott and all of you folks who watched on all the different socials. Appreciate you. We wouldn't be able to do the show without you. And don't forget about our sponsors, Ecamm, which makes this show possible. Ecamm.com/Jeff is where you can find out all the things there. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.